It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
On September 11th, 2001, award-winning journalist Jane Clayson Johnson had a front row seat to the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City. Now, 20 years later, she'll be narrating the Tabernacle Choir's special 9/11 broadcast, and she joins us now to reflect on that day, 9/11, and discuss some of the things that are coming as we look at how we remember, how we celebrate, how we come together and move forward as a nation. Jane, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Boyd. Nice to be with you.
Great. Welcome back to KSL, your long legacy here in the building, and we're grateful to have a couple minutes with you today. And so I want to go back. You were part of that day for so many of us who were watching you as you were co-hosting the early show there, and then as things started to play out. Give us just a little look back. What did that day look like from where you were sitting in New York?
Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it? 20 years. It's just incredible. I guess the first thing I remember about that day was how beautiful it was. It was a Tuesday morning. It was crystal clear. The skies were blue. In New York. And I just remember sort of going into going back to school. It was a Tuesday, and you know, we had a pretty routine news day on that day, and we were nearing the end of our broadcast. I was hosting the national morning program on CBS with Bryant Gumbel, and it was, you know, pretty standard day. I think I had finished interviewing Ray Romano of Everybody Loves Raymond. We had done a cooking segment. You know, we'd had our regular news at the top of the hour. And we went into commercial break. And in my ear, the producers said, a plane has hit the World Trade Center. And we came out of the commercial break right to the picture. And, you know, we were off to the races. At the very beginning, we thought, oh, that's just a small plane. It's hit the tower. And how devastating, you know, that's awful. And then the second plane hit. And we knew that we were under attack.
Yeah. You mentioned having someone in your ear. That is something that I think people have to kind of pull back and appreciate, that, you know, you're on set or you're delivering a line and then suddenly someone's in your ear saying, you know, we've got something, some breaking news is happening. And so as you started to realize that this was going to not just be the normal wrap up of the show and off to the rest of your day, that this was going to be something that we were under attack. Just describe what that's like in that newsroom, in that TV setting.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I remember actually people had come into the studio because, you know, we had gone up live and we were talking about this event that had happened and the plane that had hit the tower. And then when the second plane went in at 9:02, I'll never forget it. The screams and the gasps and the crying that started actually in our studio, with, you know, technical personnel and hair and makeup people and, you know, people who were in there, we were all aghast. We just couldn't believe what was happening. And we started broadcasting then, you know, through the morning. Bryant and I handed over our coverage to Dan Rather at CBS to take over at 10 o'clock. And just after he took over, of course, the first tower went down. And I guess what struck me most in the course of that morning and in the mornings that followed was of course, how our lives had changed. You know, I mean, I think today we think about our life before 9/11 and we think about life after 9/11 and kind of everything that has happened since and the changes in our daily lives because of what happened that day. I mean, we as journalists, we were broadcasting live for the next 3 weeks from 6 o'clock in the morning until noon nationally. And it just was round the clock coverage. And I guess I remember not just in the studio, but on the streets of New York, you know, how people reacted. You know, it was just, it was devastating, of course. And people would walk down the street and you'd see a fire truck go by with the flag out the back. And people would stop on the streets of New York and they would put their hands over their hearts or they would salute or they would whisper to their children, you know, about, you know, kind of where that truck was going and what those first responders were doing, those heroic first responders. I actually interviewed many, actually, at Ground Zero during those first couple of weeks. I interviewed the director of FEMA at Ground Zero. I remember interviewing firefighters and emergency personnel who were digging through through the rubble at Ground Zero. I mean, it was just such a moment in history and a moment in time that, of course, we all remember where we were when those planes hit the towers and then when those towers came down.
Yeah. Well, you had a not only a front row seat, but you were a real crucial guide for a lot of people. And those interviews with those first responders, with the FEMA director, those were all important in shaping experiences, I think, for so many around the country as we all tried to process what this is, what this means, and what comes next. I wanted to get your perspective, Jane, on with Afghanistan, of course, being the kind of the next emphasis after 9/11 in terms of a response. And now here we are 20 years later with the end of that. What have your feelings been this week in seeing what happened, how the end came in terms of involvement directly in Afghanistan and how that ties back to 20 years ago?
Well, I guess first and foremost, my thoughts have gone to those service members who were killed, the 13 brave, heroic men and women who died in Afghanistan this last week during, you know, at the end of America's longest war. And the more than 2,400, I think, that have died in the last 20 years, you know, it's been a devastating week for certainly those families, for their children who will never know parents, who you know, who will never be able to go on. I mean, I guess, you know, for me, the politics aside, you know, what we have to remember is the human toll of what has happened over the last 20 years, and remember that it's real and there's a human price and a human toll, and the treasure that has been lost in Afghanistan is devastating. And, you know, my thoughts have turned beyond our servicemen and women who are so brave and who have fought for our country over there. Are those Afghans who helped us, yeah, you know, in Afghanistan, the translators and those who helped the U.S. military and trying to get those men and women and their families out of the country, and the heroic efforts of former service men on the ground in the United States to try to guide them to safety, quite literally on the phone, telling them where to go and streets to turn down and who to meet when they get to the checkpoints, you know. Wow. And I think, you know, we have an obligation as a country to care for them now and to help them as they helped us over these last 20 years. And so I have many members of, you know, friends who are in the military who are, you know, welcoming these refugees as they come and trying to help them get supplies and set up a new life. And I think that that's our obligation. I was really impressed to see your governor sending the letter to President Biden, you know, saying we would welcome them to come here to Utah. And from my vantage point in Boston, where I live, I found that to be wonderful. So, you know, I think we all have to remember the tragic toll, but we always also have to remember how we move forward, yeah, you know, and how we move on.
Yeah. So good. If you're just joining us, Jane Clayson Johnson is joining us. We've done a little look back in terms of her front row seat from New York on 9/11 and the importance of that remembering those who didn't come home on 9/11, also remembering those who didn't come back from Afghanistan and other theaters around the world that Gold Star spouses and Gold Star families and Gold Star communities all matter. And we're going to do something that we like to do on the extended version of Inside Sources, and that is stay with the question a little longer. She's also narrating the Tabernacle Choir's special 9/11 broadcast. Again, this will be marking the 20-year point from that tragic day, and also has so many of us wondering how we should remember, what we should remember, and most important, how do we actually come together to take those lessons and move forward? Jane, thanks for staying with us today, and tell us about this program that you're working on with the Tabernacle Choir.
Well, I have to say it was an honor to receive the call from the choir and asked to participate. It's a beautiful program. It's called 9/11 Coming Together, the 20th anniversary commemoration. And it's essentially, I mean, we hear from the choir, America's treasure, America's choir, you know, the music like no one can do. But we, you know, talk about that day, and I remember some of the things that you know, happened that day, and not just, you know, the events, but the spirit of 9/11, that feeling of after a tragedy of that magnitude in our country, that feeling of sort of coming together, you know, that we had in those months, those weeks and months after that horrible event, people just being a little bit more tolerant, a little bit kinder, a little bit more patient. You know, we talk about that. And interestingly, we actually shot this special in New Jersey and New York. So we were there a couple of weeks ago, and we shot our first bits of video at the Eagle Rock September 11th Memorial in New Jersey, where hundreds of people gathered on that day on 9/11 to, you know, kind of watch what was happening across the river, and they grieved and comforted one another, you know, in person. And then we shot also at Liberty Park across the Hudson River from the 9/11 Memorial and the museum in Lower Manhattan. So we were right there and, you know, sort of seeing the city and sort of feeling the events of the day and remembering, you know, the first responders and also those citizens from more than 50 countries who lost their lives that day. You know, it wasn't just those of us in the United States who felt that loss. It was an international event. So it's a wonderful special, and I would encourage everyone to tune in. It'll be streamed live on 9/11, and of course you can find it in many places, YouTube and other spots. But it's so well done. Kristen Chenoweth will make an appearance, and I'm really pleased and honored to be part of it.
It's an exciting thing, and one of the things that I've heard is that really interwoven with the music and your perspective and narration are actually interviews with people throughout the United States and the world, and really having this be not just a U.S. thing, but as you mentioned, those that did perish in 9/11 from all those different countries, and how this can be a unifying force, not just for the U.S., but for the world at this point.
Well, I think that's right. We're here. We'll hear from people in Scotland and Italy and Germany, and sort of hear an international perspective of what that day meant for people around the globe. So it's a very uplifting special. You know, we focus on something that was very dark and difficult in the history of our country and the history of our world. But you get a sense of hope and uplift, you know, kind of focusing on the courageous acts of so many people who literally gave their lives that day in service of our country. And you get a real sense of the goodness in people and the heroic nature of, you know, what people are willing to do when called upon to do it.
Yeah, and that's, to me, that those stories, we're going to talk a little later about, it's also, yesterday was the anniversary of the last episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was yesterday, and we're actually marking that on our show today. But of course, Mr. Rogers' great phrase of whenever there's a crisis or a catastrophe, you know, look for the helpers. And I know you did that both on 9/11 and in this remembrance program with the choir. Who are some of those helpers, or what are some of those stories that have impacted you the most?
Well, I remember, I actually, not only were we on the air, of course, on 9/11, but a year later, I hosted the one-year anniversary on CBS with Dan Rather at Ground Zero. And I had interviewed family members, you know, people who'd loved ones, people who parents and spouses that day. I'd interviewed them, you know, for weeks and for months. And then a year later, to be down in actually that pit in Ground Zero before, of course, they had built the memorial, and seeing just the outpouring of love and support for those who'd lost their lives, but also those who'd helped that day, and the first responders. And of course, you know, many of them have had long-term health challenges because of what they were exposed to that day. And those weeks and months after the attack, and the asbestos and all of the chemicals and the, you know, what was in the wreckage of those buildings collapsing. And so, you know, there are a lot of residual impacts of what happened on 9/11. And for many people, they are still living with them today. And so I think on this 20th anniversary, it's so important for us to remember not only those who lost their lives, but those who helped, and those, as you say, the helpers among us, those who rushed into the towers, you know, those firemen who, as people were coming down, they were going up and they were trying to help people get out. And, you know, I'll never forget that. I also will never forget the images, the horrifying images, actually, of those people who jumped from the towers that day and who, you know, who lost their lives in so many different ways. It was so horrific. And as we move forward and as we think about and remember those lives that were lost, I think there is hope and there is a sense of comfort that comes when we think about the courage and bravery of those who were there to help that day.
Yeah, I always think of, as you talk about how we properly remember and honor all of those who lost their lives, first responders and those that were in the tower that day and other places. I always think of then Church President Gordon B. Hinckley, who would always say, you know, we honor best those who have gone before by living our lives with excellence today. And if you're just joining us, we have Jane Clayson Johnson on the line with us, who's really been a great link from the East Coast, from Boston today, from New York, of course, on that tragic day of 9/11. Linking out here, and we all remember the service that was the two memorial services conducted by President Gordon B. Hinckley, then president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and just the peace and the unity that that brought together, and to do that again and have that moment 20 years later is so significant. Jane, just a final thought from you in terms of what is it that has surprised you over this 20-year period, and what is it that gives you the most hope for us moving forward?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what has surprised me necessarily, but I do look back on that time in New York City and the great honor that it was to be part of that horrendous day and the weeks and months that followed. And I, by honor, I mean being able to meet so many incredible people and have the memory of those people, and how we can keep them in our hearts and remember them and honor their memory by how we live our lives today. And I think that's part of what this special with the choir will try to do, is help us remember the good and help us remember, you know, how we can better serve, better love, better caretake each other. And, you know, I think that that's a real memory. My days in New York, you know, were punctuated by 9/11. You know, I had been in the city for just a year, and I lived there several years after 9/11. And as I say, what happened before 9/11, what happened after 9/11 are very different. And, you know, I'll always remember being part of that experience and that event today.
Wonderful. Jane Clayson Johnson, award-winning journalist and great friend to all of us. So many feel that they know you because of 9/11 and have had that connection. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, Boyd. I really appreciate it. I love KSL. You know, my years there were some of the sweetest of my life. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you today. Thank you.
Wonderful. We'll have you back real soon. All right, we'll step aside for top of the hour news. And when we come back, we're going to pick up crucial conversation as it relates to where we are in the pandemic and what comes next. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.